Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Bruce Dyfick, the owner of the Ocean Resort Casino in Atlantic City, on how he transitioned the former Revel to become one of the newest and most successful casinos in town. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos, and now for sports betting in North America. To learn more about what iGamingPlayer can do for your land-based or online casino or sports betting site, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. When Revel closed in Atlantic City in 2014, it seemed like the death knell for the city. Its closing followed three others that year and would soon be followed by the shuttering of Trump Taj Mahal 1 year later. But like Atlantic City, Revel has returned, this time as Ocean Resort, owned by Bruce Dyfick, the former CEO of the Greenspun Group in Las Vegas, who has some casino experience. But his Ocean Resort has wowed visitors and had a decent first full month of July, as did the revived Hard Rock Casino, the former Taj Mahal. Of course, the next 6 months, the slow period in Atlantic City, will determine the success or failure of several boardwalk casinos. Dyfick sat down with me at his offices in the Ocean in August. Dyfick, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We're here at Ocean Resorts. I've been here many times since it was under construction, actually, and you've done a great job reopening it.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
So before we get started, you know, a lot of people didn't know who you were when you bought Ocean, but I know you've had a pretty good background in gaming. Give us a little hint of what you've done up until now.
Well, the experience that I've had is 30 years in and around Las Vegas, in and out. We're based in Denver, but I had the great pleasure and opportunity to run one of the great companies in Vegas and be partners with the Greenspun family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, they were actually exiting because of the downturn in the economy, Green Valley Ranch, Aliante mm-hmm. Station, right. Barley's. They held on to, but over the 7, 8, 9 years that I was involved, I picked up the Silver Nugget with some partners.
Right. Okay.
I picked up the Lucky Club, mm-hmm. Lucky, you know, Lucy, it's called, out on the 15.
Right. Yep.
So we learned, and I have two unrestricted gaming licenses in Nevada. Mm-hmm. So I've learned by being exposed, by making some investments, things like that, in smaller properties.
Right. And then as a board member of Fifth Street Gaming, you're also involved in the Downtown Grand, correct?
No, I'm not. The Downtown Grand is owned by CIM out of Los Angeles.
Okay, right.
And
right.
A great property. Seth Shore actually right. did that mm-hmm. Renovation and transformation, did a wonderful job. And as you know, the downtown Las Vegas area has really transformed itself.
Yes. Yeah, no question. So let's talk about how you first got involved in the Revel property. You know, it was owned for quite some time by Glenn Straub after it went and it came out of bankruptcy. And so how did you get involved and what really piqued your interest here?
Well, it's a very interesting story. Do you want the entire story?
Yeah, the abridged version.
Okay, fine. So I was contacted by a partner of mine in another business mm-hmm. and said, Bruce, you should really take a look at this asset in Atlantic City. And I told him, this was on a Thursday, I said, I've never been to Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm familiar with the Revel. He told me what it was.
Right.
I said, but I've never seen it. I've never been there. And he says, well, you would get it. I was one of the original founding investors in Diamond Resorts International. Mm-hmm. So I've been around a lot of hospitality. I've been around gaming, as we just discussed. And I said, look, Bruce, if you really think it's something that I should take a look at, why don't you go see it in the next day or so? And he says, well, these guys need the money by Monday.
Yeah.
And he came here.
Right.
Fellow by the name of Frank Rocco picked him up. And he came here and he looked at it, mm-hmm. took videos, took pictures, sent them to me, got back to New York at 2-3 in the morning. I was going to New York anyway for some meetings, mm-hmm. business meetings, but I didn't need to be there until Monday afternoon. And I said, look, the best that I can do is be in New York late Sunday night at 9 o'clock. So I showed up at the hotel at 9 o'clock Sunday night. I met with Bob Landino, Frank Rocco, mm-hmm. and this fellow Bruce. And after about an hour, I really felt comfortable with both these gentlemen. But I said, listen, you know, you've been run around by people for 7, 8, 9 months while you've had this lease with Mr. Glenn Straub. And I said, you say you have $5 million, you need to give him $10 million tomorrow. I'll give you $5 million on a handshake and an email. You'll respond to the email. I'll call my attorneys right now out west, and I'll give you $5 million in the morning. I went back to my room. They were in shock. I went back to my room. I said, wow, that was kind of silly. And the reason it was silly from a guy that I started with nothing with my wife 42 years ago was because if they truly didn't have the $5 million, if it was another example of being run around by people that said they were going to perform, they'd be out.
Right.
Okay, completely. Mm-hmm. I called Frank Rocco up the next morning and I said, I'll put up $10 million, but it's going to be, I'll take control of the asset. Mm-hmm. I'll figure something out with the two of you. Handshake, email, Frank. He said, done. That next morning, Monday morning, that day, we wired $10 million, non-refundable. They then sent it to Glenn Straub, and the rest, basically, that was a year ago May,
okay,
roughly.
So sight unseen, you
sight unseen.
So when did you get down here to see what you later bought?
A week later.
Yeah.
And walking the property and seeing the property. I had an idea based on what the information Bruce had sent me, this and that, but until you see her, you really have no idea.
Right.
Until you see her. Now, you know, the wall was up on the boardwalk, nothing was done, the old casino carpet, the old configuration of the casino, on and on and on and on and on. And the fact is that I saw through that, but I also saw a very, very heavy lift.
Right.
You know, to open the property.
Sure.
Property was in immaculate shape. The power, for all intents and purposes, had never gone out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they wrote off. If you take the main bill, $2.45 billion, and you take the central plant, $157 million, and a couple of hundred million of furniture, fixtures, and equipment, it's approaching a $3 billion write-off.
Right. Sure.
You know?
Right.
And Glenn made a very good buy.
Mm-hmm. No question.
And but he had carry.
Right.
He had to get the central plant taken care of, which was a brilliant move on his part.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Brookfield, very smart people, Brookfield, very capable firm out of Canada, they walked away from an $11 million hard deposit because they didn't control the central plant.
Right.
Glenn Straub solved that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt that on a price per pound basis, you know, here was truly not one of the great assets in Atlantic City.
Right.
I looked at this as one of the great assets in North America.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I know all the other quality properties that are here, Vegas, other places like that. And that's the way I looked at it. We immediately started, you know, making the adjustments that we needed to make on the property, moving toward a January 4th, 2018 closing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, it's a beautiful building. I mean, it's designed gorgeous. I mean, the exterior, the way it blends into the surrounding, you know, it's a very well-done building. But there still were physical problems, you know, the escalator, you know, the access to the casino from the hotel rooms, somewhat confusing layout if you didn't know where you were going, and some other things. But what was your conclusions when you saw that and how you were going to deal with them?
Well, it's interesting. You said if you didn't know where you were going. So we solved the if you didn't know where you were going problem,
okay.
All right? And what we first did was we listened based on the posts that had been on social media, based on the comments that people had made, based on the focus groups, things like that. What were the issues with Revel, the positive things, the negative things? So the negative things, non-smoking.
Right.
That was pretty ridiculous in a market where smoking is 25% or more of your customer coming to the property. So if you're coming with a large group of 20 people and two or three people smoked, you're not staying at the Revel.
Right.
You're staying somewhere else. Two-night minimum stay is a must. Well, that was silly when the average stay was 1.2 to 1.4 nights.
Right.
If people wanted to have a staycation in the surrounding areas, things like that, you know, that you wouldn't let them stay one night. If I have one room available or if I have, and you want to spend one night, we're very happy to have you here, those kind of things. The wayfinding, the signage they had was very poor at best, and there was a complete lack of it at best.
Right.
We changed that. We've made a major investment in digital signs, proper signage, things like that. The minute I walked on the property that day, when I first saw her, I said to Frank Rocco, I said, let's start an ambassador program with the local colleges, which I learned were Stockton, the community college, Fairleigh Dickinson, this and that, where you can have young men and women and teach them the wayfinding of the property, explain to them the best way to get from the car park to here, this and that, everything else, and post them in all locations throughout the property and deal with that. We listened to that. the wayfinding on the casino floor. The casino floor was really a mishmash the way it was laid out. There were no clearly delineated pathways, you know, and segments, and no clearly delineated slot banks, things like that. We completely changed that. We put roughly 50% new machines in, the most modern machines, and we made sure that the flow of the casino, we put brand new carpet in place, we brightened up the place, you know, this and that. And on the escalator, the main escalator, people were very concerned, rightfully so. Some people, for me, it wouldn't matter. For you, maybe not so much. But for a lot of people, old and young, it was. We invested several hundred thousand. We put beautiful glass wings on that main lift from the valet all the way up to the casino floor, and has made a huge difference. People have greatly appreciated that comment. There was a prison wall, as I called it, on the boardwalk, you know, that it's like people got to the property, this beautiful piece of real estate, and said, what is this? All right? But you couldn't get on the property. You had a small little walkway here, a small little walkway there, and you had to find them. And I said, let's blow that wall up, and let's build some beautiful grand staircases and put a beautiful sign, Ocean Resort Casino sign on the back. That has been probably, if you really want to understand who we are and the way we do things, that probably is symbolic of the most important thing that we did, is open it up to the world, you know, the right way to the boardwalk. That's where we did our ribbon cutting, and so we're very proud as you arrive, and if you hear Frank Sinatra playing, singing, you know, you walk on the property now, you know, it's a completely different sense and feel. The way I look at it is that we put one of the great welcome mats over our 62-story tower, you know, and the property. So we did that. We went through every room in our place. We redid, if a wood had scratch on it, we fixed it. If it needed paint, we fixed it. We changed 1,100 rooms of carpeting in the place. So we listened to what people had to say. And we feel we've dealt with all of those things along with making other changes. That were very beneficial to the customers.
Well, there were some operational issues as well early on with, you know, they were pretty stingy with comps, and, you know, you had to, they really weren't going after the gambler in the beginning anyway. And then some of the other ones came in with some crazy marketing programs. What was it, $100,000 cash back or something like that? And,
well, I can't speak to what they did before, but my attitude is that we ripped the rearview mirror out. And the day we opened, June 28th, was the first day this property ever opened her doors, you know, creating a new history. But we created, with Frank Leone, our CEO, who's really a great, great, great casino, you know, CEO and property CEO. We created what we think is one of the great four-tiered loyalty programs, you know, in the business. So, you know, if you're a member of our reward systems and this and that, we built an incredibly beautiful and capable, you know, players lounge so that you can have lunch there, you can have dinner there as a black and as a platinum card member. And then the comps are going to be coming. And then, you know, what they didn't do before, we're absolutely doing now. We're paying very, very close attention to our customers, to what their desires are in this market. This market's different than Las Vegas, although I think that there's more similarity than people think. But you have to be very respectful of the Atlantic City customer, wherever they come from in the 4, 5, 6 state region.
Okay, great. So we mentioned Glenn Straub, and, you know, he had some crazy ideas for this place, and he was pretty intransigent in terms of how he wanted it developed. Were those negotiations difficult?
You know, I really have no comment about that. You know, when we closed on the purchase January 4th, I definitely ripped that rearview mirror out of, you know, this business vehicle that we were in. And, you know, Glenn Straub is the kind of person he wants to be. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, not a problem. So why the name Ocean?
My wife.
Really?
So, you know, there were people that were saying, left and right, let's get this firm to do it, and let's get this consulting firm. I'm not big in that department. My wife looked at me and she said, let's just call it Ocean and call it a day. And we actually looked at that, to just call it Ocean by itself. And Carnival Cruise Line was actually protecting that for a year, that name Ocean, for their ocean-going casinos. We went with Ocean Resort Casino. And we just couldn't be more pleased because with Ocean, where she sits on the beach boardwalk and, and Ocean, and our logo and the way that's all flowed, that's all my wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it certainly is a fitting name. It does reflect the ocean sitting on the boardwalk.
Yes, sir, it does. So, it does. Thank you.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
So what surprised you the most since you've opened in late June?
Well, what surprised me really is that I've really been, left and right. The people have come up to me, and where people said that families not so much and millennials not so much, I've been pleasantly surprised, greatly surprised about the families that have walked up to me and the millennials that have walked up to me and said, you know, this is absolutely a great place. Mm-hmm. We love it here. The kids enjoy it. Little kids enjoy it here. The millennials, we're going after esports in a very, very big way
right. In
our Ovation Hall and mm-hmm. our second hall. So I've been very pleasantly surprised. What really is eye-opening to me, and thank you to the Supreme Court of the United States and to Governor Murphy, all right, for having the courage to sign that bill so quickly. Sports betting, it's not so much how much sports betting, will bring to your bottom line.
Right.
It's not really about that. Mm-hmm. I'm a sports bettor for 40 years
right.
at 63 years old. It's really about the social aspect of that.
Right.
Groups of men and women getting together and watching football games, baseball games, the Masters Golf Tournament, things like that, and having a reason to come to a place and do other things, not just at our place here mm-hmm. for Topgolf and our restaurants and all the things that we're doing, but to take advantage of the market and the beach, boardwalk, and ocean. So it's been very surprising to me, the varied, age segmentation that has come into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the market, and I see it's expanding, because as people don't sometimes pay attention to this, Las Vegas gets 43.5 million tourists a year,
mm-hmm.
up and down Interstate 15, 215, Phoenix Highway,
right.
McCarran International Airport. We get 24.5 million visitors a year. That's an amazing amount of people.
It is.
How do we get to 30 million?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
How do we get to 30 million? And it's those kids. So I've been very surprised and pleased
sure.
about what I've seen.
Yeah, well, that's been a good kept secret for Atlantic City for a lot of years, is that a lot of young people come down here for bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, celebrations and
Absolutely.
Things of that nature. And then people haven't really realized that, and as well as the nightclubs. And let's talk about your nightclub. HQ was successful when Revel was open, and now I understand it's doing just as well.
Well, I tell you, HQ2 now, it's called.
Yeah, right, okay.
And I have to just tell you, the Berries had the possessory right.
Mm-hmm.
We resolved that. What a wonderful family that yeah. is, and honorable people. We now own and control HQ, the nightclub and the day club.
Mm-hmm.
We could not be more pleased
right.
with the way it's become activated on Friday, Saturday nights, Sunday nights, and the kids love it. It's not really me,
right?
All right, but the kids love it. The millennials love it. Older folks love it,
right?
And when I say kids, over 21,
right? Of course.
Okay,
right.
But we could not be more pleased. They're
yeah.
two beautiful features mm-hmm. of the property here.
Yeah, yeah, no question about that. And Ivan Kane, has that been doing well?
Ivan Kane, I have to tell you, I could not be more pleased. The relationship that we have with Ivan coming back has activated that corner of the mm-hmm. of our casino floor. Real life there. I mean, it's very professional. What he does with his burlesque, the cabaret mm-hmm. style show that he has, things like that. So he and his wife work very, very closely together to make sure that it's done in a very professional way. And that is an incredible venue.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Jelly.
I mean,
it's an amazing technology. Facility there, and so we're very, very pleased.
Okay. So the bottom line in any of these properties is, how is the casino performing? So give us an idea of how you feel that's done so far as you've opened.
Well, candidly, we're cash flow positive.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a brand new property of this size and magnitude, with 3,400 team members,
mm-hmm.
and be cash flow positive is one hell of a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a beautiful casino. People love it. We have signed up tens of thousands of new card members. Is it living up to my initial expectations mm-hmm. dollar-wise?
Right.
Probably not. But she's doing really well. And by the way, this past weekend was another example, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where we are 100% occupied roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And the casino was busy. There were not many seats available. And our results have shown that. Mm-hmm. So people are learning about Ocean. They're seeing Ocean. They're becoming a member of the Ocean family. We're signing more people up. And we're keeping our property in immaculate, brand new, you know, spotless condition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it will come. People will come. The tiered loyalty program, the marketing, the other things that we're doing right now, the comp programs that we continue to kick in, the players lounge, those kind of things, the high VIP areas, those kind of things. People realize that was not what wasn't before
right.
has changed dramatically now to where we are paying very close attention to the gambler.
Right.
We're paying very close attention to the family of the gambler and the other things that you can do. So, you know, actually, she's living up to my expectations, mm-hmm. all right?
Right.
But she's going to continue to grow every day.
Right.
We're very excited about that.
Great. Well, there's things that aren't open yet as well, too. Give us an idea of what we're going to see in the next few months.
So the rest of our retail, so some of our retail corridor is open, or 80,000 feet.
Right.
In the next 60 days, other than the Buffalo being fully built out, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
we'll be fully activated in the retail quarter, which was never the case before.
Right.
And we're very excited about that. Our brand new Starbucks, which is right across from Topgolf, when you come in
right.
level 6 on the parking structure, you walk in, Topgolf there, Starbucks to the left, one of the great ones in the world. Blade, we partnered with Blade, you know, the helicopter app out of New York, mm-hmm. wonderful, wonderful people. And we're building a Blade lounge. So if you do take a helicopter back and forth to New York, you'll have a separate lounge,
right.
you know, waiting for departure. You'll mm-hmm. land on the 12th floor of our parking structure. You'll go down level 6 or level 11 into the lobby. Very easy once mm-hmm. you know how to get there. So that's in process right now. We're doing it. The sports book has been open since June 28th.
Right.
The full activation now will happen by the third week in August, just
right.
in time for NCAA football, NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, and be completely done with our video walls. We think we'll have one of the great sports books in the United States mm-hmm. there. So the full activation of that will happen. Mark Wahlberg, the Wahlbergers will be open with Donnie Paul and Mark the end of the month
okay.
by Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So the Wahlbergers will be done, and then Mark will start building out the Entourage Bar, Boardwalk Speakeasy, Boardwalk Empire Speakeasy in the back, right next to the HQ2 mm-hmm. you know, operation. You know, so those are the kind of things. There are 12 floors in our main tower that were never built out.
Right.
And all the utilities in, things like that, we will start building those out probably in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and it'll take me close to 2,000 rooms.
Okay, great. That's a nice number of rooms to have there. Now, obviously, to fill those rooms, you know, meetings and conventions are a key element. How is that going in terms of selling?
Hugely important to us. It's it's hugely important to us, and it's greatly important to the market.
Right.
You know, it's greatly important to Atlantic City that I think has started to create a very solid foundation under its feet again over the last 2-3 years. I've watched this for 90% of the time I've lived here over the last 15 months. But we have focused greatly. Peter Saccone is our head of group and convention. He was on property when the property was here before. He is a master at this. And, you know, as you're aware, we have a major pharmaceutical, you know, right. industry up and down the highways in mm-hmm. New Jersey.
Right.
We have automobile industries, you know, up and down, you know, that are their operations, BMW, Mercedes, other places like that. And I believe that for the town and for us here, you know, we can accommodate every type of group and convention, mm-hmm. and we're going to see to that with Ovation Hall, the second hall that we can build out mm-hmm. and use for any type of use we want, our meeting rooms that we have, you know, the 16 restaurants, all the other amenities, things like that. So we already have quite a few major groups already booked,
right.
already
mm-hmm.
signed. We're going after weddings now. We're
right.
signing up weddings. We're doing those kind of things. But group and convention, one of the reasons why, after a 25-year relationship with Hyatt Hotels worldwide, you know, Hyatt's one of the great hospitality brands in the world, and the fact that they've allowed myself and a partner of mine to be a member of their family for roughly 25 years out of Chicago, I reached out to them and I said, listen, I'd like to talk to you about what it was now their brand new called Unbound Collection. Unbound, we run our hotel, we run our property, we run our casino, we run everything. Unbound is they come in, they work with you on group and convention, they work with you on World of Hyatt Rewards, and they work with you on maybe some other things if you need that on
sure,
a cafeteria
right.
basis. We sat together. We were just actually there last week there with a major meeting, and all the executives were there, including Mark Hoppe-Amazing, the president and CEO of the company. And they are so ecstatic to be involved with this property and to bring Quality Group and convention business, because they know that this property, even more than the 850 properties they have worldwide, mm-hmm. under every brand that they have, has the capability of taking care of things. And they have 68 million people in their database,
sure, right.
and
yeah.
they're prepared to use it, which mm-hmm. is what they're doing. So we're very excited about group and convention. I'm respectful to my gaming customer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very respectful to my group and convention customer.
Okay.
And we're going after that in a very big way.
Sure. Well, if you have 2,000 rooms, you got a lot of flexibility.
Absolutely, yeah. sir. That's the case. At $13.99, we have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
But it will open up the door to do other things.
Right. No question about it. So you mentioned the sports book. How is that? I think being the first one on the boardwalk had to be an advantage.
Well, I tell you what, knock on wood, William Hill,
right?
They run our operations in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They have, I think, 138, 140 sports books. Joe Asher, as the president and CEO of North America, I've met the chairman from London. These are very, very high quality people.
Mm-hmm.
They're capable people. And when it comes to their app, the William Hill app,
right.
For people that want to bet $5 on a game, this and that, it's so easy, it's so user-friendly, and this and everything else. So they have been a great partner.
Mm-hmm.
And when we opened June 28th and Mark Wahlberg placed the first bet in our book, it's all
right.
That's a temporary setup.
Yeah, right.
The central
right.
floor
yeah.
is right.
Right.
All right. But you will see in the next two and a half weeks, all the video panels are on our property now.
Mm-hmm.
We've
okay.
received all of our panels. So on one side of the wall, you'll have 18 feet by 55 feet of panels.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you'll have 15 feet by 55 feet and then four 100-inch panels on the bottom. And then across from the new sports bar that we completely redid that's fully activated, you'll have a strip 8 feet
right.
by 57 feet. And so all the games, everything, plus sports tickers out into the casino and a sports ticker on the sports bar to give you up-to-date sports scores, things like that, in a very comfortable environment. We think that we truly have one of the great places. And, at first when I said, look, that used to be the old social bar in the middle of the casino where there was a wall
right.
there, and you'd walk in one side and there was a stage there and they'd have, entertainment, things like that. And I made the decision to level the floor, take that wall out,
mm-hmm.
and open up the casino because it helped the wayfinding.
Right.
The casino was this big circular casino, 138, 40,000 square feet, and you opened up the wall. All of a sudden, it changed the complexion of the casino entirely, and the lights from all the TVs and all of the music will pour out into the casino. And people said, Bruce, that's a really stupid move. Who the hell puts their sports book in the middle of the casino?
Yeah.
I said, well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, Bruce, that was a really smart move.
Absolutely,
because
yeah.
it's easy to find, the wayfinding, mm-hmm. things like that. I'd go to a hotel in Vegas, and if I parked on the wrong side,
right.
okay, it took me 40 minutes to get to the
right.
sports
well,
book.
That's why they have them on the side.
By the way, that's exactly right.
right.
Whereas
yeah.
if you park level
that.
6
yeah. Right. Yeah.
in our
well,
7,700 car mm-hmm. parking structure, and you walk into Topgolf,
right.
in 18 seconds you're in the sports book.
Right. Yeah.
And grab a Starbucks while you're on your way.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're very pleased with that. We'll be done with that, and we know that from an activation standpoint. But you talked about but weddings and bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, other events, buddies come, this and that. That will be a main hub.
Yeah,
along with Topgolf, along with other things we're doing, Cereal Town for the kids,
right.
Goldfish from Pluto, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, and you have one of the best pools in the market too.
Well, we have 6 very, very good pools,
right.
but our indoor-outdoor pool, and people, it's funny. I'm always a guy that said, we can solve that. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
And then there are people say, wow, that's a, and they said, it's not big enough. Really? Okay, well, we put a lot more chairs, and we put a lot more comfortable chairs.
Right.
And then I got, the Poseidon pool, which is all those cabanas,
mm-hmm.
and I have a deck that, as far as you can see,
right.
there's that deck, and I bought these cocoons that are coming in, the coolest cocoons, where you get inside, and you lay there and you put 3-4 people there. And so, we are making sure that when people come to Ocean, they're saying, wow, you want a pool? We got them. You want hot tubs? We got them. You want this and that? So thank you for saying that. But we do think that we have, and we're making it kid friendly.
Yeah, no question. So Hard Rock opened at the same time you opened. Is there some way you position yourself versus Hard Rock, or are you just going out on your own and they're doing their own positioning as well?
You know, it's interesting. I the first person I met when I moved to town, really, was at Tropicana. I lived at Trop for a year, you know, and I'd leave here and I'd go there. And Mr. Tony Rodio, and I knew immediately that he was a very high quality, wonderful man.
Absolutely. Yep.
And he was very accommodating and thoughtful to me when I lived there for the year. And I want to thank him and Dominic Palmieri and wonderful people. You know, nobody at Hard Rock reached out to me.
Yeah.
And I've put the olive branch out and said, look, if you all want to work together in the market, you know, people, we'd like to work with you and make it better for Atlantic City. Let's raise the bar for everybody in Atlantic City. You know, Hard Rock is an incredible brand. They bring a great aura to the market, entertainment wise. You know, they just do an amazing job. So I think having them, you know, two doors down from us, you know, has activated the boardwalk here, and I want everybody to do well because it's good for us. If we get the number to go to 30 million, if we can get the visitation to 30, it's great for everybody here, and we all thrive and survive.
So
I have nothing but the nice things. I hear that they've done a very, very nice job there, and we're I'm very happy about that.
Great. So what is your sense in terms of expanding the market? You know, certainly that's what everybody hoped that these two new casinos have done. Are you seeing new people coming to town, or people who haven't been here for quite some time?
Well, I'm not here long enough to tell you if I've seen new people coming to town, but I think what's happening is that the world is hearing.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Within a five-hour drive and a one-hour flight, there's 70, 80 million people. And if it, once again, if we give you here what you want for the families and the millennials and the gambler and the older couple and people, the visitors, we have buses of our Asian customers coming from Queens and other parts of New York. And to sit and chat with those people, which is what I do.
Right.
I walk my property all the time, every day. They are so pleased with the quality of the property, the cleanliness of the property, the layout of the property, the quality of the food. We have a brand new, you know, high-end Asian noodle bar with an incredible chef from Miami, Michael, that came here. And so, you know, I want to accommodate everyone here.
Sure.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. I think if we do that, I think as Hard Rock does their thing, I think as the other properties pay attention and do the great job that they're so capable of doing, I think people will say, honey, why do we go anywhere else when we can get in the car, have a nice day trip, 2 hours, 3 hours, or staying two nights, three nights, four nights, you know, a family vacation, whatever. If you do things and the family, you know, and we're going to have a go-kart track up on top of our 12th level of our parking structure, you know, one of the great ones in the world. Those kind of things, people will say, we don't have to go anywhere else.
Right.
We can go right there. And by the way, I have driven now. My daughter lives in Rye, New York, with my granddaughter, my son-in-law, and my four-legged grandson. And the roadways in and out of here are awesome.
Yeah.
And they're easy, all right, and manageable. And we're talking with the airport authority about Atlantic City International. What a great little airport that is. I have a home in Denver, and I have a home in Laguna Beach, California. And Orange County is one of the great small airports in the United States. Atlantic City International has the ability to, once again, if United Airlines, Southwest Airlines, not just the air that is traveling in and out, you know, would sit back and say, we should look at some flights, because it's not about just Atlantic City.
Right.
If people would think about the 1 hour surrounding areas to where you don't have to deal necessarily with Philadelphia International. And you can come in and out, like Orange County. You have amazing runways there. You have a great terminal complex there. I've sat on an advisory board with United Airlines for many years. And so we're talking to everybody about seeing if we can do that.
Yeah.
That will help the market also.
Great, great. Absolutely. So, you know, the summer has been good. I've been here all summer. I've seen a lot of crowds up and down the boardwalk in your casino and other casinos. But of course, when the summer ends, that's when the rubber hits the road. What do you have plans for the shoulder seasons in the winter to not only survive but to thrive?
Well, candidly, I'm not. You know, it's not survival.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's growing and continue to grow. I think that as we hit, you know, after Labor Day, I think a major benefit that this town has today, New Jersey, is sports betting. Mm-hmm. I think sports betting will help shoulder that, you know, that burden, you know, and making that season a little bit better, because from a timing standpoint for us this year, it just doesn't get any better.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then NFL, NC2A, Major League Baseball playoffs, things like that. Thursday night football, Monday night football.
Right.
All right? And then I think group and convention, because I believe that you know, as I look, I carry in my phone a picture of 1939 Atlantic City, the boardwalk, when it was absolutely packed.
Right.
Packed. And I show that picture to people and I say, what does that picture represent to you? It was on the wall at the Starbucks at the Havana Tower at the Tropicana. They said, people having a great time, packed on the boardwalk like sardines, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, what else does it tell you? It tells you that at a time, 1939, regardless of what was going on socioeconomically around the world in a war, that here was a place that geographically the population was much lower than it is today. And getting to Atlantic City in 1939 was much more complicated and difficult than it is today. Mm-hmm. Yet there were tens of thousands of people up and down the boardwalk having a great time. Mm-hmm. I believe that can happen again, and this is a 12-month-a-year resort area, town, city. Mm-hmm. I believe that as I lived here and I walked the boardwalk in the middle of winter with a hot chocolate in my hand, and I saw the opportunity to really get out and enjoy the scenery, the ocean, you know, and what's going on around here, I believe that changes. I think it's very important, though, as a town, that we think about, you know, the blight is disappearing in Atlantic City.
Right.
I think that taking houses down one at a time or making adjustments like that or buildings, that's one thing. But there are major structures on the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. And when we get together as a business family and the government and you take those structures down that are not going to be rebuilt, that will send a very clear message to the customer base coming in and out of this market and said these people are serious.
Yeah.
And I think that will in turn also change the dynamic for the, call it, shoulder season and rest of the year, because I'm not going to call it off season. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to refer to it as the off season, because I don't think there is an off season here.
Yeah.
I think once we activate group and convention the right way in a big way, I think that we are going to be as busy during the winter as we are going to be during the summer.
Okay, great. All right, one more question. Where would you like to see Ocean a year from now, maybe 5 years from now?
Well, we had, you know, so from a documentation budget standpoint, you know, we had budgets. Mm-hmm. And we're tracking some of our budgets very closely on one side. I'm very pleased with, you know, the revenue side. We're positive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like people say to me and dear friends of mine that run these properties, that own these properties, they say, Bruce, to open that property up and show a profit after 5 weeks and be positive, and you haven't activated all the things you're about to activate, and sports betting's about to happen in a very big way, along with everything else, is absolutely a shock to people.
Right. Yep.
A shock. It's not a shock to us because, you know, we believe in her and we work it 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see her continue to spread her wings, you know, very thoughtfully.
Right.
She's going to remain absolutely perfect as far as clean, neat, brand new, things like that. I want to continue to expose her to the world, you know, with our marketing campaigns and getting the word out that it's a different place now, and Ocean is a very special place within Atlantic City. So a year from now, I would like hundreds of thousands of more people to experience her, to understand who she is, you know, and come to the market. Mm-hmm. And whether they stay with me and they see a show at Hard Rock, whether they stay at Borgata and they come and they recreate, dine with us, go to Topgolf, do those kind of things, all right? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of things that I'd like to see a year from now.
Sure.
That there's more activation like that and we're working together, because I think that's beneficial for everybody in this marketplace.
Mm. And you don't see that very often.
Not very
in
often,
Atlantic, unfortunately.
Not very often.
Right, great.
But in Vegas you do.
You do, yeah.
The LVCVA has done a very good job. Mm-hmm. And as you know, at Greenspun, one of our divisions was LasVegas.com, and Vegas.com and LasVegas.com became the underpinning for the LVCVA. Mm-hmm. And there was a real sense of working together. And some people pushed back on that, but for the most part, that happened, and it was very good for the town.
Right. And we need more of that here.
Yes, sir, we do.
Great. Well, Bruce, I could talk all day. We've got a bunch of
other
things. I know you're busy, but we'll get back together soon, because I want to follow up on this and make sure that you know what you're saying is going to happen will happen here. I'm sure it will.
Roger, it's a great pleasure, sir. Thank you for your time. And passion burns it like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us on the GDB podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos and now sports betting in North America. To learn more about the service, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can learn more about this and all subjects related to gaming by visiting GGBMagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, visit GGBNews.com. And follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. That's it for today. We'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.